Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashantralyam, giving you live broadcasts every Thursday in the Asia stream of Radio Sai. As the proceedings in the Sai Kulwant Hall have ended just now, and the devotees are silently lined up to have a close glimpse of our dear Lord, it's now time for us to get back to the evening session of this Thursday's live session, the evening session. And this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh inviting you all to yet another new episode of Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. In today's class, we have a special program for you. Today, we have a special talk on the significance of Sri Rudram that was delivered by Dr. K. Anil Kumar as a part of the third Sri Satya Sai Veda Poshana workshop that was held in Bangalore on 11th December 2016. Dr. Anil Kumar is an alumni of Bhagwan's University. He did his schooling in Hyderabad and then joined Bhagwan's educational institutions for his 11th standard and then went on to complete his BSc, MSc and PhD in the field of chemistry. He was blessed to be a part of the Prashanti Mandir Vedam group. We shall now listen to the first part of his talk on the significance of Sri Rudram.
Om Ganeshaya Namaha, Sarasvatyai Namaha, Sri Rudhyo Namaha, Hari Om. Pattigrama Samudhutam, Prashanti Nilayavasinam, Bhaktakishta Pradam Devam, Sainatham Namamyaham. Namasabhavyas sabhavatibhyascha vo namaha. With prayer to pranams at the lotus feet of our dear mother, respected elders, brothers and sisters, seeing the galaxy of eminent people here, and my own guru, who taught me Sanskrit as well as Mahanarayana Upanishad, a lot part of Vedam, and also my another guru who taught me Rudram itself, of which I am going to share some thoughts with you all, Dr. Shivashankar Sai, and lots of other sutrams which Dr. Shivakumar taught me, and I have to stand in front of all these and speak to you all about Rudram. So it makes me nervous, and that's the reason why I quickly this morning, immediately the minute I saw them, I thought I should start with one very nice shlokam written by Adi Shankara, addressed to mother, and this is my state right now, Swami. Najanami kanam naja dhyana yogam, na janami tantram na cha stotra mantram, na janami pujam na cha nyasa yogam, gatistvam 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 swameva bhavani. Only Swami has to speak through me. What I will be doing in the next few moments and the opportunity that has been given to me is to share some of the thoughts. That's why I had put this thing as recapitulation of some lessons that Lord imparted when we were chanting at His feet. Some thoughts used to come to me and I just put them together, worked them over the years, and few of those I'll share with you. But before I start, I thought we should all understand the importance of Vedam from Swami's own words. So I just, though it is a little long, I just read this through. The Vedic literature is the most ancient in the world. It's a treasure house of wisdom. It has contributed to all-round development of man. The Veda is the first ever book in human history. It is the birthplace of human culture and basis for all kinds of powers. All branches of learning have their origin in Veda. All dharmas and virtues have sprung from Veda. The Veda is endless, unfathomable, indefinable and blissful. The word Veda is derived from the Sanskrit root vid, meaning knowledge of jnana. Ishwara Jnana, Atma Jnana, where Brahma Jnana, Advaita Jnana is Veda. Veda is Vijnana. All these terms are synonyms of self-knowledge or Atma Jnana. The divinity of Vedas is all-pervasive and has eight aspects of splendor. Shabda Brahmamayi, Characharamayi, Jyotirmayi, Vangmayi, Nityanandamayi, Parakparamayi, Mayamayi, Shrimayi. There is indeed the Vijnanam Brahma that is constant integrated awareness. It does not pertain to one individual, one place or time. It is universal. So with this background, first and foremost I wanted to understand this, because this was a question which number of times used to occur to my mind, after number of people used to also ask, even now they ask, should we know the meaning of Vedam before chanting Vedam? And my understanding or my thoughts about it is what this is. See, Veda is above Veda. That means there is only a mantra drashta, but there is no mantra karta. Nobody has written it. It is a vibration which is existing in the universe, and when an aspirant, whom we call as a rishi, reaches that state of consciousness, he or she listens to this vibration and that is captured as mantra. And therefore, what I understand is that the meaning is manifold. Every line of Veda you can get so much of meaning, and the meaning will be different for the same individual at different points of time. This is something that we have to understand. As we keep chanting it, as we keep trying to ruminate, we keep getting newer and newer and newer insights into the very same sentence. This is very critical. We have to understand this. And to make it more clear to all of you, I will start with an anecdote. This happened in some time, I think it was around 1999-2000. Swami used to beautifully, after the interview is over in the evenings especially, is to come and sit on the veranda, which is now the Samadhi Mandir. And there was no railings also at that time, I remember. And all of us used to say to Swami used to just have a discussion. And one such discussion actually made this point extremely clear to me. There was a discussion on, Swami started that day on saying that one should be so satisfied and content with God, what God gives him, that he should not worry about someone else. There should be no comparison. Comparison itself is wrong. And Swami said, in fact he went very lively. If he has car, so what? I have kalu, means I have speed. If someone has a big mansion, so what? I have sky as my roof. So Swami went on saying, this is the kind of satisfaction, contentment that one should have based on what God gives him. Then Arun Kumar sir, sitting there, used to sit right close by, and fortunately for all of us, he used to be bold enough to pose lots of questions. He said, Swami, one doubt. If you say that we should never compare, if you say that we should be totally satisfied with what God gives us, then how can there be progress, Swami? It is because India feels, he gave an example of country very nicely. He said, it's because India compares with America, at least America is developed, and therefore we need to develop. There is progress. How can there be progress without comparison, Swami? Actually speaking, a very, very sound question, right? And Swami instantaneously, that is the answer Swami gave. I captured it there. I was so thrilled by this answer, I immediately wrote it down in my, at that time I was having my chemistry book preparing for next day's class, that was already there on my lap in the mandir. So I wrote it in that itself. Swami said in Telugu, what is real progress? Real progress, lenidi pandatamu kaadu unnadi penchukovatamu. Actually, I will say this is Vedam. This is a word which has multiple meanings. The reason is, following that, next month, Anil Master is to capture all these things as Kanti Kiranalu in Sanatana Sarathi. He captured this conversation and he gave the meaning to, he didn't quote this sentence. See, this is what happens with missing out Bhagavan's actual statements. he wrote his interpretation of this. Swami gave a beautiful explanation. Swami said the goodness or the strength that we have within us, we should grow that. That is real progress. Not all the time running after something that is not there with us. But that is one level of meaning. There could be another level. The meaning that I got at that point of time is Unnati is real Atma. And really knowing your Atma is real progress. All the time, if you go anywhere outside of yourself, outside of Atma, it's never in progress. So that's another level of interpretation. That interpretation I got, I must have got another interpretation. If you follow this statement, you will get another interpretation, I'm sure. So Veda is like that, where every statement that, in fact, every word of Swami's was like that. If every time we look at our diary, where we have captured Swami's words as they are, each time we go through it, we get a different connotation, different meaning. The reason is, the God's words, God's breath, Veda, which is Apaurusheya, which is exactly God's word, is full of multiple meanings. And Sanskrit added to that is such a wonderful language. It can be split in multiple ways. Same statement can be split in multiple ways. Same word has got multiple meanings. While we have to put effort to learn meaning, we should not be feeling that the meaning that we have understood is the only meaning. That mistake we should never do. There are multiple meanings we should understand, and as we put more and more effort, we will get to know more and more of this meaning. Just to give you one example before I move on to Rudram. In fact, this was my, we used to chant Anandavalli very often near Bhagwan. And first time when I used to chant this, I used to feel this is not logical. Atmanaha kashasam bhutara akasha vayu vayo ratnihi agne rapaha adhya prithivi prithivya oshadaya oshadibhyonam annat purushaha. How can water come from fire? Where there is fire, water evaporates. What this states is, water has come from fire. Akasha has given rise to Vayu. Vayu gave rise to fire. Fire has given rise to water. Water has given rise to Prithvi. Prithvi has given rise to Oshadi or plants. Plant has given rise to Anna or food. Food has given rise to man or life forms. So I used to feel like something odd. How can, these are contrary. To that extent, even if there is a big wind blows, where the fire is there, so how can wind give rise to fire? So there was some, I was not getting the logic behind it. Then having tried to put, kept thinking more and more of this, this is the beautiful understanding. It's completely scientific. The understanding that I could get, I'll quickly this. Atma can be correlated to unmoving, still energy. In fact, once Swami told him, this was also a very unusual experience. Swami suddenly called inside interview room just before bhajan started. And as Swami was getting up and coming out, Omkaram was starting in the bhajan hall. So Swami looked at me and said, do you know what is Parabrahma? Where is Parabrahma? And then Swami said, with the nishyaptam or the silence between two omkaras is Parabrahma. He opened the door and walked out. I walked out besides, fully dazzled by this. But then it means, so omkaram is, if you see the connotation for each of them, akasha connotation is shabda. Shabda means vibration. Right? So, unvibrating still energy is Atma. Vibrating energy becomes Akasha. And when this energy continues to vibrate extensively, huge amounts of energy, they start forming quantums of packets of energy, which we call as mass. If mass forms, there is pressure. Mass per unit volume is pressure. Sparsha is nothing but pressure. So, If an attribute of Sparsha is added to Shabda, it now becomes Vayu. So naturally Vayu has come from Akasha. And this vibrating mass, when they collide with each other, there will be excitation and emission, which is what is Rupa, another attribute added. And as Rupa is added, the same Vayu, we no longer call it only Vayu, we call it as Agni. Because there are three attributes now. And when these vibrating, exciting, emitting atoms start combining together to form molecules, we call it as Thapa. The reason is, the two attributes in the five senses that we have, the touch, apart from the touch, look and the hearing, the taste and the smell are called as chemical senses. Rasa and Gandha happen because of molecular interaction. So to convey that molecules have started forming, the attribute that is given is Rasa has added, got added to Agni. And therefore naturally a vibrating atoms start forming together to form molecules which we call as Apaha. And when these molecules solidify to solid state, we call it as Prithvi. So it's like a logical, natural formation of one after the other. There is absolutely no doubt that this cannot happen. One leads to another without any, it naturally will happen. And in fact, just to recount what Swami had said, Swami used this attributes to show how God is all pervasive. Swami said, each time one attribute is added, it's becoming grosser and grosser and grosser. Earth, which has five attributes, Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, is the most grossest. Water has only four, it is far more spreading. Fire, which has only three, it is latent heat is there everywhere in the earth. Vayu, which has only two, is everywhere. Right? Akasha, which has only one attribute, is the most pervasive. You remove even that attribute, it is naturally omnipresent. Therefore, God or Atman, Paramatman, because he is attribute less, naturally he is all pervasive. So I mean, use this thing to smoothly explain how. So there is so much, and this also revealed one more small insight to me, that the vibration that we talk of for Omkaram is actually not the sound that we understand at this level. The reason is the sound that you are now hearing to me needs a medium. Without a medium, sound can't traveling. But that vibration, that Omkaram sound, does not need a medium. It's a very different vibration. There is no medium, because when Akasha's attribute is Omkaram, and when Omkaram came, there was no medium. But this vibration is still existing. This is that Veda, the mantra that is all the time there in the universe, which does not require any medium. So chanting of Veda, my understanding, small understanding is a way to reach to that vibration through this vibration. We keep chanting, maybe we can go to a state where we'll be able to listen to that sound which does not require a medium. In fact, Swami in one of his discourses said, as a spiritual aspirant progresses, inside you listen to varieties of sounds. The flowing of, in fact, Kriya Yoga also talks about this, flowing of sound, water flowing sound, sound of a flute, sound of a peacock's coin, all these are heard within. So there are sounds within which do not require a medium, and reaching that is possible through continuously chanting Veda. That is the reason why Veda is for spiritual progress too. And Veda also has lot of beautiful insights for us. Some of the things which have captured my mind, two of them I have just captured here. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a beautiful statement, Vidyadvai Bhayam Bhavati. If you see a book of psychology, there is so much written on fear psychosis, cause of fear and so on. Where in Veda, With one word, Ved Mata has given the solution. If there is a second, there is fear. So if you want to get out of second, do what? See God everywhere. Automatically you reach a state of Abhaya. If you see your own Swami everywhere, there won't be any fear anymore. Because you are seeing oneness everywhere. As long as you see a separateness, there is fear. That's a good... See, the analysis is so beautiful in Vedas. Every way we find this. Similarly, another statement is from Mahanarayana Upanishad. This sequence, if you really go through it, is so beautiful, so logical. I'll quickly go through this. The sun rays give rise to rains. Rains give rise to plants. Plants give rise to food. Food in turn gives rise to energy. Physical energy. Physical energy allows us to do tapas. Tapas leads to, tapas is concentrated activity. Tapas leads to shraddha or faith in scriptural truths. This shraddha leads us to mental power. This mental power leads us to sense control. Sense control leads us to reflection. Reflection then leads us to shanti or stillness of mind. This shanti leads us to experience the truth within. And this truth allows us to, leads us to remembrance. Constant remembrance leads us to moksha or vijnana or atma jnana. How logical is Vedas? This critical, granular way of explanation can you ever get anywhere else outside. So this is the beauty of Vedas. I'll move on just to give, having given a flavor of how at every, whatever thing that we pick up in Vedam, there is so much involved. I'll move on to Rudram specifically now. Before I start on Rudram itself and what I have understood of its inner significance, we have to understand Chamakam Namakam Chaitra Purusha Suktam Tathayata Nityam Trayam Trayam Jano Brahma Loke Mahiyate. In fact, this is what Swami has made every one of us do, especially in Bhakti itself, routine now, Rudram, Chamakam and Purusha Suktam. These three have to be chanted, and if these three are chanted, this is the royal road, right royal road to Brahmaloka or Sahitya. Rudram is so powerful. Just to recall, every time we should be chanting, 2003 onwards, this chanting of Vedam during Swami's darshan time, till balance used to commence, it used to go on, continuous chanting. And at that time there was no specific way of sequence. Means it was not that Monday we chant this mantra, Tuesday it was this mantra. It wasn't like that because we never knew how long Swami used to be sitting outside or inside, right? So we should continuously keep chanting. And whenever Swami is passing by, if we wanted Swami to stay on the stage and listen to Vedam, we'll quickly move past whichever mantra we are chanting, close it quickly, move to Rudram. He gets stuck to the stage. This was the attraction Bhagavan had for Rudram. Every time this was chanted, and many times out the mantras that Swami asked us to chant, Namakam, it was a common, most common, Shri Suktam, Purusha Suktam, Mantra Pushpam. These were the things Swami used to tell. The other things may be because they are simple to encourage us or there is a lot of significance for them too. But Rudram Namakam Swami was so, it was like a magnet for the Lord Himself. We start chanting this, you can be sure, wherever you chant, Swami will come and listen to it. That is the power of Rudram. And therefore, and Rudram is also a community prayer. This is something I want all of us to understand. In fact, chanting of Vedam is not sadhana alone, it is seva. The reason is last but penultimate anuvaka of putram. Draveham sasyate daridra neela lohita. When we chant that, it is fully prayer for the community. In fact, that statement, yatha nashyama sattvipade chatushpade vishpam pushtam grami asmin anaturam. It's a prayer for local community. It's a prayer that everyone, the two-legged and the four-legged, are safe in our community. In fact, I call it as anti-terrorist prayer. Rudram is an anti-terrorist prayer. If you do not want a terrorist attack to our community or our city where we are living, Rudram is the answer for it.
With this, we come to an end to this week's Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. In the coming session, we shall listen to the second part of the talk on Sri Rudram delivered by Dr. K. Anil Kumar. Now it's time for us to go to the next segment of this Thursday Live's evening session, the Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom hosted by Brother Bishu. Over to Brother Bishu. Sai Ram and happy listening.